Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Wow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us today. So, I told you a couple of weeks ago. Get ready, and well, it's been longer than that now. When was the Wisconsin the Wisconsin elections, and even going back to Kansas and the pro-life legislation they were trying to advance there? I warned you folks that the Republicans were going to make a move to try and marginalize the pro-lifers within the Republican Party. And got a lot of blowback over that, but I'm telling you, this is going to happen. Congresswoman Nancy Mace out of South Carolina was on CNN, the most profane name in news, and she was telling Jake Tapper that the Republican Party would suffer in 2024 if it continues to focus on banning abortion at 6 weeks. She was responding to a South Carolina law that would ban abortion at 6 weeks, with exceptions for incest and rape, only if a police report or restraining order can be shown. Quote, I have grave concerns as a rape victim about the reporting requirements for rape victims with this legislation. So there you go, folks. There is a move that's being made. And by the way, President Trump, as well, is voicing his opposition to this 6 week ban on abortions. And this is going to set up a very interesting move within the Republican Party. And we're going to get to that a little bit later on today. But already some very high profile evangelicals are rising up and calling out President Trump. One of those happens to be a very powerful figure in Iowa politics. So we'll get more into that a little bit later on. We'll talk about Iowa real quick here. But it's Bob Vanderplatt, who is very, very powerful. He is the chief executive officer of the Conservative Family Leader. He was on News Nation this week. And he was asked about President Trump, and he said that that he believes the Republican nominee should be anybody but Trump. He says, quote, I think if we're going to have a conversation about what happened in the past, all sorts of vengeance about what happened in the past versus about a compelling vision for the future, we're going to get beat in 2024. He also said, I think America is exhausted by it. I think they're tired of it. I think they want to turn the page to the next generation leader, someone who's got a compelling vision that might unite America around things that actually bless America. And then he was asked about the president's views on abortion. And Vanderplatt said, quote, it's a huge problem. And the thing is, the former president could take a victory lap by just saying, hey, look, I'm the guy who gave you three Supreme Court justices that overturned Roe v. Wade. But instead, he alienates himself from the pro-life community by saying, you're the reason we didn't do better in 2022. Instead of saying, listen, where my fingerprints were in 2022, we did dismally. And then he just recently saying that Ron DeSantis, who signed a heartbeat bill in the state of Florida, was too harsh. Vanderplatt goes on to say the pro-life community expects better than that. So you say, what does all of this mean, Starnes? Well, it means that even though Donald Trump holds almost a 50-point lead over all of his either opponents or soon-to-be opponents in the Republican primary, evangelical leaders are moving away from Trump. That's what's going on here. I just want to point this out for you so you're not surprised when it actually becomes official. But they are moving away from President Trump. Now, my question to you is, maybe Trump's getting some bad advice here and bad counsel on all of this. But in the quest to turn Ron DeSantis into a Democrat, which is what the America First people are doing. And understand this, America First people. The America First people were originally out there saying, we believe that Ron DeSantis is the man who can carry the MAGA First agenda. We believe he's the standard bearer. And now they want you to believe he's a radical Democrat. No, seriously, this is what they want you to believe. And that is a very dangerous thing. It's one thing to attack your opponent. It's another to destroy your opponent. And if these pro-Trump people are not careful, they will destroy Ron DeSantis. They will destroy the future, the next generation of Republican candidates. Donald Trump is not going to be alive forever. This is just a very practical, real thing. We're having a reality check here. So I don't know who's giving Trump advice on the abortion issue, but it's the wrong people. That's all I'm trying to say here. All right, I want to go on to this hearing that's underway right now. We've been hearing all morning from the FBI whistleblowers, and the Democrats say they're not whistleblowers, but we all know they are whistleblowers, talking about the weaponization of the FBI. Now, this is how insane it's going. One of the whistleblowers came under fire from a radical Democrat with purple hair. Her name is Linda Sanchez. She is a Democrat. Cut number 21.
Mr. Allen, have you ever used Twitter? Yes or no?
I have utilized Twitter, yes.
Okay, and is your account at MarcusA97050645?
That is absolutely not my account.
Okay, that's not your account. Well, on December 5th, 2022, an account under the name Marcus Allen retweeted a tweet that said,
that is not my account, ma'am.
You haven't let me finish the question, sir.
It's not his account.
You haven't let me finish the question. And the time is mine. On December 5th, 2022, an account under the name of Marcus Allen retweeted a tweet that said, quote, Nancy Pelosi staged January 6th, retweet if you agree, end quote. Do you agree with that statement? Yes or no?
No, ma'am. That's not my account at all.
I'm asking whether you agree with that statement, yes or no?
Can you please rephrase the statement?
Yeah. Do you think the gentlelady has expired? Staged January 6th. I just want him to answer the question.
He'll answer. Yeah, he'll answer. I'm just telling you your time's up.
Do you believe that Nancy Pelosi, do you agree with the statement that this person tweeted that Nancy Pelosi staged January 6th?
No.
Thank you.
You know, folks, I'm a good, somewhat teetotaling Southern Baptist. I enjoy a Baptist martini every now and again. That's a Diet Coke with a wedge of lemon for you Lutherans out there. But I got to tell you something. I'd be hitting the hard liquor if I had to answer questions like that every day. What in the heck is... Listen up, Sanchez. It's not his Twitter account. Why are you asking him about somebody else's Twitter account? It's not his. But this is what these poor guys are going through. And by the way, FBI is playing hardball here. Hardball. We understand that FBI employees who are now testifying have had their security clearances revoked, and they're now being accused of playing politics. I'm telling you, folks, this is an ugly thing. Your FBI, and I say it's yours because your tax dollars pay the bills, your FBI has been turned against you. They are the deep state that Donald Trump was telling you about. As a matter of fact, I will say this, and we're going to play some audio a little bit later. We have audio of FBI agents, and they're still going to the homes of pro-life leaders, and basically they're harassing and intimidating the pro-life leaders and their families. That's what's going on. One of the videos, and our friends over at the Daily Signal actually got a copy of this. These FBI agents were showing up at the home of one pro-life leader, and they were harassing the girl's mother, wanting to know where the daughter was and what, you know, how they could get a hold of her. And they said, oh, you know, she's not in trouble. She's not in trouble. She is. We just want to visit. You know, the FBI, they don't make coffee calls, right? They're not showing up for a glass of lemonade on the front porch. And we'll get to that audio a little bit later on. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot of evil happening in America, and we're going to expose it here. And it's really disgusting. Really disgusting what the FBI has been up to. All right, we got to take a quick break here. 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, good for you, Los Angeles Dodgers. They didn't want to go down the path of Bud Light. So the Dodgers were planning to honor an anti-Catholic hate group, because what doesn't put Catholic butts in the seats at a baseball game than an anti-Catholic hate group? The baseball team had announced plans to honor the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Now, in case you're not familiar, that's a group of queer and transgender nuns. One of them is named Sister Taint a Virgin. Another is called Sister Porn Again. So you kind of get the drift. There are others we can't even say on the air. Very, very vile. Senator Marco Rubio wrote a letter directly to Baseball Commissioner Robert Manfred, demanding to know, why are you people honoring a group that mocks Christians? And they really have. I mean, they have desecrated. If you go to our website, toddstearns.com, you'll see the photo of Jesus. That's one of the members of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. So anyway, long story short, the Dodgers disinvited the anti-Catholic nuns. And quite frankly, what they ought to do is find out whoever thought this was a good idea to actually invite these people and throw them out of the ballpark too. That's what they ought to do. So good for you, ladies and gentlemen, because of your righteous indignation, the LA Dodgers have seen the light. All right, let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. William in North Carolina, what's on your mind?
Morning, Todd. I don't know how you can be a nun and be a transgender at the same time, but anyway, that's for them to decide. At any rate, on this abortion law, it's a tough decision. It really is, always has been. I think the government should stay out of it. But unfortunately, we've had to step in because certain people have decided not to exercise pro-choice before pro-life. And then what I mean by pro-choice is that you need to have responsibility for your own actions.
You see, here's the problem, William, and a lot of people aren't willing to explain what the problem is, but I'm happy to do it for folks. The problem is that a good many Republican lawmakers are not really pro-life. I mean, they say they're pro-life to get the votes of the pro-life community, but in their heart of hearts, they're really not pro-life. So when it comes to making those really difficult decisions, they're never going to side with the pro-lifers, because that's just not who they are. That is not their political DNA. Another big problem here is the messaging. And the Republicans just do a lousy job of messaging. And Trump is right. And again, I think he is right to a certain extent. And what he's right about is this. The messaging is off. And if you go out there and your campaign for office is, we're going to eliminate every single abortion, even if the mother's life is in danger, you're going to have that baby. That is a losing proposition. And I'm just being very blunt here. That will motivate the base of the Democrat Party and moderate Republicans to come out in force and destroy the Republican Party. And it will. And if that's what pro-lifers want, then, you know, they're going to be able to get that. But that's the reality of where they're about to go.
I agree with you, Todd. I mean, I understand what you're saying. And that's probably a good way to put it. The Republicans need to back up and punt, as the football team said, and rethink about how they're messaging their agenda. I agree with you on the fact that they're probably not really, at the end of the day, on our side about things. They're just trying to be on our side just to get the votes.
If I were the Republican Party, because here's what's happening, and I've seen this play out. The pro-life movement, the leaders of the pro-life movement, their argument was, we've got to have Roe v. Wade appealed so we can take this back to the states. This is not a federal issue. This is a state issue, right? We've heard the argument. Well, now what they're doing is those same pro-life leaders are now saying, no, we want to go back to Congress, and now we want this to be a national abortion ban. You can't have it both ways. My recommendation is leave it with the states. That's where it should have been in the first place, and make this a state-by-state battle. But if, again, the whole point of Roe v. Wade was to send it back to the states. All right.
And it needs to be back to the states. You're right, Todd.
All right, William, appreciate that call. Thank you for listening. And here's what Republican leadership needs to do. And this is honestly the best way. And I think it'll teach everybody a lesson. Just bring everybody together in a room and have the pro-life leaders there and have Republican leadership and say, okay, pro-life leaders, what do you want us to do here? What is your plan? And the pro-life leaders will explain their plan. And if the Republicans embrace that, they accept what they've been told and they go out and campaign as such. And if they win the day, that's great. If they lose the day, well, that's great too, because that's what the pro-life leaders wanted. As long as they're doing the bidding of the pro-life leaders. So they better get it together or they're going to botch this, is what I'm trying to tell. I'm just telling you, it is a dangerous thing. And a lot of it has to do with messaging. Actually, most of it has to do with messaging. All right, I want you to hear this audio. Daily Signal got this. God bless these people. They're hardworking journalists. You're going to hear a conversation between two female lady FBI agents and the mother of a pro-life leader. Take a listen.
Hi, we're looking for Elise.
I'm sorry, she's not here. Can I ask what this is in regards to?
Yeah, sure. My name's Ashley Roberts and this is Kathleen Brown. We're both with the FBI.
Okay.
We just need to speak with her regarding some information that was sent in to us.
Okay. Well, she doesn't live here.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, she's my daughter, but this isn't her residence currently.
Okay. Do you mind giving us her residence or her phone number by chance?
Yeah. Hold on just a second.
Sure. She's not in any trouble. We just have information that we need to ask her about.
Do you mind if I take a picture of your badges?
Unfortunately, we're not allowed to have anyone take our pictures.
Can I see it again, please?
Sure.
Tell if you guys were fakes or not.
Yeah. You can always call our office too and they can verify our employment, because it is weird. Not every day you get a knock on the door from the FBI.
No, and I'm like in a meeting upstairs, so I wasn't trying to not answer. I was trying not to answer the door. And I'm like, oh my gosh, whoever's at the door is being like uber persistent. Give me a minute.
Sorry.
So, no, that's okay.
We can leave you our office number if you'd like to call.
Yeah, let me do that. That sounds good.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's your FBI making, air quote, courtesy calls. Just to visit. Now, you're not in trouble, but can you give us their address? What do they look like? What are they wearing right now? What kind of a car do they... We just want to say howdy do. We want to give them a gift, courtesy of the FBI. Are you buying any of this, folks? If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why, it's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS. And use the promo code STARNS or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code STARNS. All right, I have a question for you. Are you boycotting Target? Wow. You know, it's sometimes some days it's a little weary being so right. You know what I mean, ladies and gentlemen? We've been telling people for years, actually decade, at least a solid decade, what was about to happen in this country. They want a gender neutral society. And they, I'm talking about these radical alphabet activists. They want a genderless society. And we've been telling people from day one, they're coming after your children, right? The San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus. They actually sang the song, "We're Coming for Your Children." And not just your grade schoolers, but we're talking about babies. And everybody, Starnes, you don't know what you're talking about. You're just homophobic. You're a bigot, Starnes. Well, I want to bring your attention to a story in the Gateway Pundit. Cassandra McDonald is the author. Conservatives boycott Target over sales of chest binders and tuck-friendly bathing suits for transgender children. The items are part of a sizable gay-themed selection of kids' apparel, books, and accessories. So, you know, again, this is, we're talking about Target here, the department store, and Target has the men's section and the ladies' section and the children's section, and now they've got a gender-bending section. And they're actually selling baby wear for tucking, like diapers. I'm not making this up. So this is what's happening in your local Target store. Items of children's clothing sold by Target include a shirt that says "Live, Laugh, Lesbian," and another that says "Queer, Queer, Queer, Queer." Hold on, how many queers was that? One, two, three, four queers. Did I say five queers or queer, 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 queer? There we go. Got it. Books being sold in the children's section at Target include gender ideology materials. One book called "Bye Bye Binary" centers on a joyful baby who refuses to conform to the gender binary and instead chooses toys, colors, and clothes that make them happy. And it's marketed as a perfect tool to encourage children to love what they love and is also a great baby shower gift for all soon-to-be parents. By the way, side note here, have you seen these gender reveal parties? You know, it used to be the gender reveal happened in the hospital. Holy crap, it's a boy! But now they have these huge parties in the backyard and they shoot off cannons, and if blue smoke comes out, it's a boy, and if pink smoke comes out, it's a girl. What are they doing for the genderless kids? Are they going to have multiple? Seriously, what are they going to do? I don't know how you can tell if your baby is going to be genderless. Congratulations, Mr. and Mrs. Starnes. Your baby is genderless. You're going to have a genderless baby. What does that mean? Anyway, going back to the Gateway Pundit story. The shocking selection prompted swift backlash from conservative commentators. I'm just a regular tater, not a commentator. the backlash coming from people like Matt Walsh. What Target is doing is far worse than anything Bud Light is. Thank you. I've been saying that from day one. Thank you, Matt Walsh, for jumping on the bandwagon. They're selling chest miners and tuck-friendly bathing suits for children. But you know what's even worse than that? It's Disney. Disney is in the grooming business. But you can't tell that to the good church-going people of America, because they've got to take their church youth trips down to Florida so they can, give Disney their money so they can keep advancing this radical agenda. And I guarantee you a good many church people are still going to Target because people don't care. They just don't care. Except for the beer drinkers of America. Is that not ironic? And I want to preface this by saying my denomination, we're the Baptist, we don't drink, at least officially on the record. But so other denominations, so I just need to say that, because other denominations, it really doesn't matter. You know, people, you know, they drink, they actually have wine at communion. We do the grape juice, and it's cheap, nasty grape juice. But anyway, I digress. So anyway, I find it ironic that the beer drinking Christians of America have more integrity than the teetotaling Christians of America, because they're sticking it to Bud Light. And Bud Light could very well go out of business over embracing this whole transgender Dylan Mulvaney freak. But all of you teetotaling Christians out there, the ones, you guys are still going down to Target to shop. You're going down to Disney World. You've still got your subscription to the Disney Plus channel on your TV. I'm just saying, Disney is not hurting. There are still long lines getting into Disney. I'm just saying, my hat is off to the beer drinkers of America, because you're sticking it to Anheuser-Busch, and you're telling them, hey, look, we're men. Men don't drink some sort of a girly beverage. What are they going to do? Put like a little frilly umbrella in the Bud Light can? Is that what they're going to do? That brings me to a story from Daily Wire. Katie Jerkovich is the writer. Riley Gaines, the great swimmer, being quoted, quote, women's swimsuits are not accessorized with a bulge. Let me repeat that again, ladies and gentlemen. Women's swimsuits are not accessorized with a bulge. What in heaven's name is she talking about? Well, it turns out that Adidas has launched a brand new swimwear line for women, but they're using a male model. And by the way, this is not a transgender model. This is a dude in a one piece. Gaines was tweeting about this. I don't understand why companies are voluntarily doing this to themselves. They could have at least said the suit is unisex, but they didn't, because it's about erasing women. Have you ever wondered why we hardly see this go the other way? Women's swimsuits are not accessorized with a bulge. Well, it's true. Congresswoman Nancy Mace of South Carolina says, I'm old enough to remember when women actually modeled women's bathing suits, not men. But I want to correct Riley Gaines here. This is not about erasing women. This is about erasing gender, right? They want to erase gender so they can erase what it means to be a mommy and a daddy, what it means to be a family. They want to destroy the nuclear family, and they're doing a very good job of it, a very good job. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. To that point, I want to briefly mention the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, the Southern Baptist Convention is the nation's largest non-Catholic denomination. They're going to be meeting for their annual gathering in New Orleans in a couple of weeks. And they're announcing some of the speakers. One of those speakers happens to be a Southern Baptist seminary. I'm not sure what seminary, but she attends a Southern Baptist school. Her name is Rachel Gibson. And I don't know, for the eternity of the Southern Baptist Convention, they have somewhat been opposed to gay marriage. They believe that marriage is between one man and one woman. And I think we have a lot of Baptist in the audience who will affirm that. You may not agree with that belief, but that's what the Baptists believe. But not anymore. As a matter of fact, Rachel Gibson says not only can you be attracted to men, can be attracted to men and be married, but you can even be sexually attracted to a potted plant. There you go again, Todd. You're just making stuff up all the time with the hyperbole. Todd Stearns, shame on you. Shame on you for calling out the Baptists like that. Well, I'm going to let you hear it for yourself, and you can judge whether or not this is hyperbole on my part. Cut number 20.
The Bible holds forth, and God is very clever, right? His word says, hey, there are two equal ways to faithfully wear your sexuality in the world. You can be faithfully single, or you can be faithfully married under my definition of marriage. And like to live in either of those, you could be attracted to men or women or both or neither or potted plants. Like it doesn't, you know, your attractional patterns don't hold you back from having access to God's Spirit in order to live faithfully. And I find that incredibly freeing.
All right. Notice she said her definition of marriage. What exactly are they teaching in these seminaries? What are they teaching the men who are supposed to be the next generation of preachers in America? Are they really teaching men that they can be attracted to a potted plant, a fern, an azalea bush, a kumquat? What is going on in the Southern Baptist Convention right now? But again, it's not hyperbole, ladies and gentlemen. This is what happens when wokeness infects the public school system, and it infects seminaries, and it infects the churches. This woman is being given a platform. She's being platformed at the Southern Baptist Convention. What is going on with you folks? Jeez, Lord, these are my people, by the way. And I don't know anybody who's attracted to an azalea bush. Got to take a break. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, folks, I have been on a weight loss journey for about week two now. And so far, so good. I have determined that you have to cut back on what you eat if you want to lose weight. It's somewhat disappointing, but I'm cutting out the breads and I'm cutting out the desserts for the most part. And one of the things that's really helped, I'm taking a new product called Calitrin. Now, this is not some sort of a drug, and it's absolutely stimulant-free, and it's 100% safe. This is a great pill that helps not only with weight loss, but it also does a lot of other things. And for me, it helps me sleep better at night. I've always been a light sleeper. I'm like Donald Trump, 3 hours and I'm done. Well, now that I've been taking Calitrin, I've actually been getting a good and adequate night's rest, upwards of 7-8 hours a night. It's pretty incredible. Also, now back before I, had a love affair with barbecue, I was also a long-distance runner. I ran marathons. And I know that's a shocker for people, but it's true. And now, though, as I'm getting older, the knees are kind of like, dude, you're killing us. Well, Calitrin also helps alleviate that joint pain. And I've been taking this for a couple of weeks now, and it's pretty spectacular. And I want to encourage you to give it a shot, especially if you're looking to slim down a little bit. Now, this is not some sort of a quick fix. It takes time, and that's why they have an 86% success rate, because you're really kind of changing your lifestyle. So give them a call. Write this number down, 833-TOP-LOSS. That's 833-TOPLOSS. You can also go online, toploss.com. That's toploss.com. Now, be sure to use my promo code, and when you do, they're going to give you a great discount on all of their great products. Again, toploss.com, promo code Todd. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. Have you heard about this Miller Lite story? So they've got They've got a spokesbabe. Her name is Alana Glazer. And I don't know what the deal is with this one, but she's really upset because Miller Lite had a bunch of bikini-clad women promoting their product, cut number 11.
Here's a little known fact. Women were among the very first to brew beer ever. From Mesopotamia to the Middle Ages to colonial America, women were the ones doing the brewing. Centuries later, how did the industry pay homage to the founding mothers of beer? They put us in bikinis. Wow. Look at this shit. Wild. It's time beer made it up to women. So today, Miller Lite is on a mission to clean up not just their shit, but the whole beer industry's shit. Miller Lite has been scouring the internet for all this shit and buying it back so that they can turn it into good shit for women brewers. Literally, good shit. How, you ask? Ladies, take it away.
First, we turn the bad shit into compost. Then we feed compost to worms. Push out beautiful fertilizer.
That good shit helps farmers grow quality hops.
Which is then donated to women brewers to make their own really good shit.
But there's definitely more shit out there.
Okay, your attic, enough garage, of that. Man, what a potty, what a mouth on that one, huh? My word. Potty mouth. Now, look, I don't know why this this gal is all worked up, but there are some guys in America that like to drink a beer, and they like to drink a beer with a beautiful woman in a bikini. Does that make them a horrible person? It's not our fault that our forefathers had the women in the kitchen making the food and the beer. That's not, we had nothing to do with that. So anyway, Miller Lite has this new woke ad. They're borrowing a page from Bud Light, and conservatives are really up in arms over all of this. You know, when they turn Diet Coke woke, give me a holler. I'll become righteously enraged. Unbelievable. Anyway, I had no idea the progressives were that into Miller Lite and Bud Light, but the problem here is you're getting a lot of these young kids coming out of college. They're getting jobs, many of them in the marketing departments at these major corporations, and they're taking this woke nonsense they learned in school, and they're trying to apply it in the workplace, and it's becoming miserable for everybody. Let's go to the phones here. Joe in North Carolina wants to weigh in on politics. Hey, Joe, what's on your mind?
Well, let's get a few things straight right off the bat. I don't drink Bud Light. I haven't shopped in a Target in 5 years. And the last time I was at Disney World was 1975.
Well, there you go.
Now we got all that stuff out of there. All right. I went to bed mad. I woke up in the middle of the night and I had this, do they call it an epiphany or a dream? I don't know. But let me ask you a question and see if we agree and see if this is a good idea. It's safe to say that no matter what we were to do as far as getting people from Hillary Clinton on down the list, if we were to have them indicted for whatever, the chances are slim and none, and Slim just left town, that they would be convicted as long as that trial was held up in Washington area. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, it would be. And you got about 20 seconds here, but yeah, you're right.
Okay, 20 seconds. That means I got to say it quick. We need to start a nonprofit corporation that you and I and millions of other people can invest into and hire really top-notch attorneys to civilly sue all these people until they're bankrupt. We got to hit them in the nerve that's most sensitive. That's the one that connects to their wallet.
Oh, I like that, Joe. Well said, and pithy to boot. So, I like that idea. But honestly, I just want people to honor the law of the land. Is that asking too much, ladies and gentlemen? Do we really want to be a country of coups? We'll be right back.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love
this American ride.
You know, I've been trying to analyze the American liberal for a long time now, and I think I've come to the conclusion that their idea of utopia is an America where the women have hairy legs and are vegans and the men are soy boys. That's with man buns. That's what I think the utopia is for these people. And of course, the latest is that they're trying to ban gas stoves from restaurants or homes. They want everybody to stop using gas to, I don't know, save the ozone. Is that what they're saying? So anyway, I find the hypocrisy in all of this quite rich. Of course, many of the people that are calling for a ban on gas stoves fly around the country on private jets. Well, there's a city in California, Palo Alto, California, and they're getting ready to ban gas stoves. But there's a big problem. There's a celebrity chef. If you've watched Top Chef or the Food Network, you probably heard of Jose Andreas. And Mr. Andreas was in the process of building a brand new restaurant in Palo Alto. And he said, hey, look, we're not going to be able to build our restaurant if we can't use gas stoves. So what did they do? Mr. Andreas threatened to sue him. Well, the city council got together and they decided, you know what? We're going to grant an exemption. So the only person who is allowed to use a gas stove in Palo Alto, California, will now be Jose Andreas. Do you see the hypocrisy here, folks? I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Good to have with us our friend, Congresswoman Debbie Lesko of Arizona's 8th Congressional District, and she's introduced some new legislation to save our gas stoves. Debbie, good to have you back with us.
It's great to be on your show, and I hadn't heard about this Palo Alto one, so I'm going to add this to my talking points.
Is that not the crazy?
The liberals have gone insane.
Oh, yeah, but don't you dare touch the frogois, or it's going to be war. I mean, they'll come after you. Unbelievable.
Wow. I got to use this one next week when my bill passes out of the Energy and Commerce Committee. I'll use it as another example when my Democratic colleagues, some of them are saying that my bill is a waste of time and political theater and all this stuff. Although I did get three Democrats on the Energy Subcommittee of the Energy and Commerce Committee to vote on my bill. And so I think it's a bipartisan bill. It saves our gas stoves. And basically what's happening is the Department of Energy is proposing a rule that would get rid or eliminate 100% of the freestanding gas stoves that are currently available in the market today and 96% of the currently available gas cooktops. And so they have these new energy efficiency standards, and the manufacturers are saying none of the existing models of freestanding gas stoves would qualify for it. We'd have to remake the stove. It would be less, it would work worse. You'd only have probably one big burner on it. And anyway, of all of the problems that are going on in the United States and the world, we have all these crises going on. They're picking on gas stoves. Unbelievable.
Have you been able to determine exactly why they have a problem with gas stoves?
Well, you know, my philosophy and my belief, I should say, is that they want to eliminate natural gas, the use of natural gas. And they're doing that from all different agencies, right? So whether it's the Treasury Department that, you know, wants to discourage people and banks from lending to gas and oil, or if it's stopping leases on federal land for gas and oil, or whether it's pushing all electric vehicles instead of gasoline-powered vehicles, or now eliminating 100% of the existing natural gas stoves. I mean, this is an all-out war against American-made natural gas, and it's crazy because we rely on natural gas to produce most of the electricity in at least the state of Arizona. We have natural gas power plants. You can't just get rid of this stuff overnight. It's not going to work. Our electricity is not going to work. And people want to keep their gas stoves. They don't want to be told by the federal government to purchase in the future some stove that doesn't work well.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today, Congresswoman Debbie Lesko from Arizona. Congresswoman, I want to get to your legislation on women in just a minute, but I'm curious. We haven't heard a lot on how things are going at the border in Arizona now that Title 42 has been lifted. What's going on in your state?
Well, I'm on the Border Security Caucus, and we actually had a briefing just this week, and one of the people was from Yuma, Arizona. He's a county supervisor in Yuma, Arizona. He said there is currently a little bit of a lull that's going on as far as the number of people that are coming over, but we have news from another witness that testified in front of, you know, or spoke in front of our caucus that there's more coming. So this other person was down in Panama saying there's a whole big group of people coming. And so this is, if there is a little bit of a lull, I don't know the reason for that, but there's thousands of people more that are coming across the border. He said that there are people murdering each other right on the Mexico side of Yuma, Arizona, that there's still, you know, overcapacity. They're releasing illegal immigrants into the city of Yuma, Arizona. And so this is just continues to be a crisis, and that's why Republicans in the U.S. House passed H.R. 1, which was our border security bill, that will implement the return, it will reinstate the remain in Mexico policy. It increases the standard for applying for asylum so that right now it's such a low standard that everybody and anybody can just get into the United States. So increase the standard for that. It will finish or not finish, but continue building the construction of the border wall. It does all kinds of great things. We passed it out of the House. Now it's in the Senate, so we'll see what happens.
I do want to go to your bill. You've reintroduced the Women's Bill of Rights. We were sharing a story earlier in the program about Riley Gaines, Adidas, now using a man, not a transgender man, but an actual man to promote their new line of women's swimsuits. And it looks as though, at least from my observation, that women are being replaced by men. And this is part of a concerted effort by the sex and gender revolutionaries. I'm wondering what you see from your vantage point, and what is your bill going to do?
Well, that's just crazy that they're using a man for a woman's swimsuit. I mean, that is more insane than I could have even dreamt of. But anyway, what my bill does is a women bill of rights, and it basically defines what a man and what a woman is for federal law, because there's these courts out there that are misguided rulings based on what sex is, and now we have a Supreme Court justice that can't even define what a woman is. So sadly, we have to define in federal law what a man and a woman is. So my bill says a person's sex means his or her biological sex, either male or female at birth. And for purposes of federal law addressing sex, the term woman and girl refer to human females, and the term man and boy refer to human males. You know, for thousands and thousands of years, everybody knew this definition until all of a sudden, recently, these radical liberals wanted put everything on its head. So now you have males that are participating in girls and women's sports. And I don't understand for the life of me how my Democratic women colleagues are supporting this stuff, because it's taking away the rights of women. And it's just wrong. It's wrong. It's invading women's private spaces like women's locker rooms, women's bathrooms. It's just not fair to women. And this is wrong. And that's why I have introduced the bill, and that's why we had a press conference with Riley Gaines, came yesterday in the U.S. Capitol, and we're going to push this bill forward and get it out of the U.S. House of Representatives.
I love it, love it, love it. All right, Congresswoman, we're going to be following all of this legislation very closely, and we always appreciate you coming on the show.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
All right, Congresswoman Debbie Lesko out of Arizona. Did you ever imagine we would have to come to a point where we would literally have to define what a woman was, right? It's that's where we are. Chaos in the culture, everybody. Chaos in the culture. All right, we're going to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Oh, wow. Senator Marsha Blackburn is fired up over this situation in New York City, where a lot of the schools had to shut down their gyms because they were using the gymnasiums to house grown illegal alien men. Here is Senator Blackburn, Cut 5.
Hey there, Tennessee. Here's another one. You just cannot make it up. In New York City, guess what they are going to do? They are going to close the children's school gyms, the children's playgrounds, and they're going to house illegal immigrants in those facilities. Now, the obesity problem is bad enough as it is, but now they're going to tell the children of New York, you cannot go play at the gym or at the playground because we're going to preference illegal immigrants.
Well, there you go. And by the way, it's even worse than they thought. There's new undercover video now that's been filmed around New York City showing hundreds of illegals lining up and waiting to get paperwork and things of that nature. It is really bad up there. But it's even worse at the border, where you have an 8-year-old child, a little girl who has been found dead. So now President Biden's border policies have killed 2 children that we know of, actually 3. In Prattville, Alabama, you have a situation where a teenage girl was in a restaurant, went to the restroom, and was raped by an illegal alien. Now, this guy in 2021 had been stopped at the border, so he'd already been in the country illegally, and they ended up letting this guy go. So Homeland Security, or rather the Department of Homeland Security, Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas literally has the life of this child in his hands. He's responsible for what happened. Just as much as the illegal alien is, the Secretary of Homeland Security is just as guilty. And in a just world, they would be charging Mr. Mayorkas along with this rapist. But a teenage girl raped by an illegal alien on American soil, and the whole thing could have been prevented. It didn't have to happen. Had we only secured our borders and stopped illegals from coming into the country. I mean, it really is that simple, ladies and gentlemen. It really is that simple. Unbelievable. All right, Kamala Harris back in the headlines. My goodness, what a ditz. I'm sorry. It's, wow. I mean, with Biden, all right, yeah, we get it. He's got a brain made of porridge. But Kamala Harris, there's no excuse. Cut number, let's see here, 8.
One of my favorite dishes probably is gumbo.
Okay.
I love gumbo.
Yeah.
So I was raised by my mother, and then we had a second mother, Miss Shelton, who's from Louisiana. Mm-hmm. She made the best gumbo. And I have been a lifelong gumbo apprentice, learning how to make gumbo my whole life.
Okay.
I never mastered it like she did. But that's one of my favorite foods, probably.
What is she talking about? What, seriously, what is this woman talking about? Unbelievable. She goes on to talk about the Republicans, cut number 7.
And most recently, they even want to eliminate classes that teach, quote, gender ideology. Well, so what are we talking about here? Classes that teach women's history? Women's equality? the study of the fact that there are still only 25 women in the United States Senate in a body of 100?
No, ma'am. Let me explain what they're talking about. They're talking about letting people know it's not okay to put a man with a bulge in a woman's bathing suit. That's what this is all about. Unbelievable. And as bad as she is, there's Joe Biden, who, this is terrible. So they were having a, this is awful. So this was happened at the White House, and Biden called a man named Michael, Michelle, cut number 12.
And I also want to thank our special guest, Michelle, who ensured that today is both delicious and a glot kosher. Where I don't know where the chef is. There you are. Well, stand up, man.
No. The chef's name is Michael Solomonoff. That's the chef's name, Michael, not Michelle, Mr. President, Michael. So he thought Michelle was a dude. No, not the first. No. Not that Michelle. No, this is another Michelle. Unbelievable, these guys. But by the way, even the New York Times is saying that Biden doesn't need to run again. They've got an essay. They call him a great president, which is a load of hooey. But they're saying you should not run for office. Oh, by the way, Biden's also very upset with you Republicans out there. Cut number 9.
It's disappointing that our discussions in the Congressional Republicans have not been willing to discuss raising revenues, but the policy differences between the parties should not stop Congress from avoiding default.
Yes, let me explain this, so, Mr. President. The Republicans do not like raising taxes. I mean, it really is that simple, sir. Just want to point that out to you. All right, folks, I have to direct your attention to our great website, todstearns.com, and we have a lot of great resources for you there. A lot of new listeners in Western Tennessee listening to us on Super Talk. The website is free of charge, as is our podcast and our newsletter, and these are incredible resources. We have well over, I think, 300,000 people now subscribing to our newsletter, and we're covering the news that other agencies are not covering. But beyond that, we also have a great store, and we have T-shirts, we have ball caps, we have all sorts of great products for conservatives for you to check out, including all of my books. So if you would like a personally autographed book, I'm happy to do that, but you have to go to todstearns.com. I would recommend, and this is just a great pairing, we have a great coffee mug, the Blessed Not Bitter coffee mug, and also a copy of our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. It's the newest book. A lot of people are saying, Todd, when's the next book coming out? Well, it's coming out early next year. So I was talking to the publisher, and that new book is going to be in bookstores right around January, February. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show. There's a great story in the Kansas City Red Star. A Kansas school teacher, she's been teaching English for about 15 years, so she's a veteran school teacher. And finally, she said, enough is enough. And she wrote an op-ed that appeared in a local publication. And she laid it all out. She explained to moms and dads what was really going on in the public school. She said, and she predicted, rightly predicted, what was going to happen, but she said, I can no longer stay silent about the state of our schools. I will be attacked and threatened, but for the good of our districts and the students with whom we are entrusted, I must speak out. And she did. It's really fascinating. I'm going to go through this. I don't want to read all of it to you. The teacher is just a good and decent lady. She is very upset over the wokeness. Her name is Cedron Sullivan. That's her name, Miss Sullivan. She said, we are being manipulated and intimidated by a divisive woke ideology that's creating a culture of contempt and disrespect. The school district is fostering a toxic environment requiring employees to attend diversity, equity, and inclusion training and workshops centered around critical race theory, including Black Lives Matter in the classroom and social justice in the classroom. Using teachers' white privilege, white supremacy, and decolonizing our classrooms propaganda. I'm curious if you've had to go through that diversity, equity, and inclusion training in your job or in your school, and if so, I'd like to hear from you, 844-747-8868. Now, listen to this. Fascinating. This is in the Kansas City area. There's repeated white shaming and a preoccupation with white people as the oppressor, including staff field trips, with a focus on systemic racism. The white saviorism and virtue signaling at DEI meetings is so condescending that many minorities and other staff members have stopped attending. Our district is no longer academically focused. We are doing our students a disservice by allowing a biased curriculum to take over. If parents knew what goes on in our schools, the majority would be appalled. Now, get this, and you better believe it, this is happening in your local schools. Even in places like where I live, Germantown, Tennessee, which they say is a conservative suburb of Memphis. That's what they say. But there's some freaky stuff going on in the school district. Ms. Sullivan goes on to write, at a staff meeting this month, we were told we should refer to students by their preferred names and pronouns during the school day, but hide from the parents the fact their minor children are transitioning at school. The district conceals the transgender policies from the public and will not release the DEI presentations we are compelled to watch. Well, why not? If they support this, why not go ahead and let the rest of us see it? Well, we all know why. Teachers who are simply doing their jobs are blindsided by false allegations of racism. Simple classroom management practices that were encouraged last year are now grounds for accusations of discrimination this year. And she goes on and on and on. She says there is a strong anti-capitalism, anti-conservatism, and anti-American bias in the DEI curriculum, with an emphasis on white fragility and how to be anti-racist. Quote, I've been in workshops where teachers were discussing how to incorporate the 1619 Project into their English curriculum and how to use Orwell's book 1984 as in class as propaganda against those of one political party. One teacher referred to me as a Nazi and fascist for disagreeing with her views. May I just say, without even knowing who the other teacher was, that teacher is in fact a Nazi and a fascist. So I'm curious if this is happening in your local public school. This is why, by the way, our nation has seen such a radical shift in what young people think about this country. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Tariq in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Tariq. What's on your mind?
Oh, yeah. Hey, how you doing, Mr. Starnes?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Well, you know, I think that one of the motivating factors behind Biden allowing, you know, these people who are illegally coming into this country, I think one of the motivating factors is the fact that Biden could be getting paid under the table in allowing these people to come to this country. Because, you know, if the members of the Medellin cartel, if they're being paid in assisting these people in coming into this country, then you got to think that Biden is getting compensated for allowing these people to come into this country. And it could maybe call it conspiracy theory, but it could be the fact that Biden is being paid underneath the table in allowing these people to come into this country. And I just think that it's just a blatant outrage to sacrifice the livelihood of other people just to accommodate these people. And, you know, I'm not saying that it's not what they're doing, it's how they're going about and doing it. And it's just an insult to the people who have been waiting for years on end to get their citizenship in the United States. It's just a blatant insult for these people who have been waiting and waiting for years to get their citizenship. And so I just think that that Biden is pretty much thumbing his nose up at this country by allowing all this stuff. And, you know, and I got a feeling that Barack Obama could very well be lurking somewhere in the background. Now, maybe I'm wrong about that, and if I am, I'll be the first to apologize.
Oh, I don't think you're wrong about that, Tariq. I think this has Obama's fingerprints all over it. All over it.
Well, you know, Eric Holder and Hugo Chavez and Barack Obama, I just got this belief that Eric Holder and Hugo Chavez and these people are all in cahoots with each other. And you got people from Venezuela who have been trying to cross that border also. And so I think that Barack Obama might be directly or indirectly involved in these people, you know, coming into this country. And it's one thing, let me just make it perfectly clear that I have no problem with anyone coming to this country. That's not the problem. It's the way that they're going about and doing it that makes all the difference. And I just think that the Supreme Court needs to step in and to issue some type of injunction that will block Biden in allowing these people to come over here, because it is, whether you believe it or whether you know it, it is a threat to the sovereignty of this country. And allowing these people to come over the way that they are, it's a threat to the sovereignty of this country. And if anybody don't think that way, then, you know, heaven help you.
Tariq, look, you're very well said, and we're going to leave it there. I appreciate the call. But there is something to what Tucker Carlson was talking about for so long, this replacement theory. And you may be offended by the term, but it's true. I mean, when you look at what's happening at the border, it's very clear that this administration, for whatever reason, wants to bring tens of millions of illegals across that border. And I think a lot of black Americans, especially those folks living in Chicago's South Side, are starting to wake up to the reality that the Democrat Party never has had their back. That's what I suspect is going on there. By the way, remember the guy in the he was the guy in charge of nuclear waste over at the Department of Energy, Sam Brinton. He's the bald-headed dude who dressed in mini skirts. Remember that dude? And then he got arrested for stealing women's luggage, right? This is crazy. I think two different times. So apparently he's been arrested again. I mean, the guy, he needs to go get some help. Needs to go see a therapist. Need to spend some time on the couch. Sam Brinton was arrested as a fugitive from justice. Maryland State Police made the arrest yesterday. He was taken into custody in Rockville, Maryland. The arrest was led by the Washington Airport Authority Police. So, yeah, he apparently has been caught stealing again. You know, he's making pretty good money. Certainly he can afford a pair of culottes of his own, right? Go down to... Well, Payless is not in business anymore. What's a good cheap foot store for shoes? A shoe store. What's a good? There's got to be something. Walmart. Okay, Walmart, Target. Go down there, get yourself some high heels. Even buy yourself some luggage. Police charged Brinton in October with stealing luggage worth over $2,000 at Minneapolis St. Paul. And then in December, he was charged in Las Vegas for stealing a suitcase. Who was the, speaking of Minneapolis, there was a lawmaker there. Oh, Larry Craig. Remember that guy? Larry Craig was forced to step down from Congress. He was a senator, I believe, from Idaho. And he got charged for lewd conduct in the men's bathroom at the Minneapolis St. Paul airport. And it pretty much ended his political career. But his argument, if you remember, this is great. They actually had people reporting this. I don't know how they were able to do this, but they're able to get photographs and get video of the actual bathroom and the stall where all of this happened. But anyway, the senator's defense to all of this was he just had a wide stance. That was no, I'm not making it up. That was his art. That was his defense in court, that he had a wide stance. All right, whatever. Who are we to judge? All right, 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us. Let's go to the phones. Don in Illinois. Don, what's on your mind?
If you could have just seen me just a couple hours ago when the live presentation of the House Judiciary Committee was interviewing those heroes from the FBI who have stood against their tyrannical Christopher Wray and exposing the kind of policies that have led to them at the FBI targeting the American people for such dastardly things as going to school board meetings, I was standing up in my family room cheering. I probably put some dents in the hardwood. But I can tell you, Todd, that hearing about Merrick Garland protecting this kind of behavior and Christopher Wray protecting this kind of behavior and seeing the kind of great men that they tried to character assassinate from the Democratic side, Amy Wasserman Schultz is disgusting as an American. And what she did to those FBI guys, simply for standing up against the repressive tactic used to silence them, I could have crawled through the TV. And it was, I'm just as an American thrilled that I get to finally see the real heroes who are trying to alert the American people so that we all could become as upset as I am. And that's the problem in America. We don't have a problem with the people. We have problems with the people who are supposed to help the American people turning against the American people. And it's not a problem of white supremacy. We've got globalist supremacy that we should be more concerned about.
Yeah, look, Don, I completely agree with everything you said, and it was appalling to see the Democrats targeting these brave heroes, and that's what these men are, because they know their careers are done, they're finished in the FBI, that's that, but they also, these whistleblowers also know they're going to be targets for the rest of their lives. I mean, we are dealing with a rogue government agency. And it ought to be dismantled, it ought to be defunded, and we ought to bulldoze the building.
And you know what? Where is Hillary? I don't see her out doing any public appearances, wanting to be seen out in the public parading her fantastic wisdom for all of us after the Durham report came out. And, of course, Barack's not out on the lecture circuit telling us how we should all live. I find that Durham report, as soon as I heard MSNBC said, the Durham report is kind of a yawner and no big deal. I told my wife, I said, I haven't seen the Durham report, but if MSNBC is saying it's no good, I got to race out and get it, because I guarantee you it's naming all the right villains.
There you go. All right, Don, appreciate that call. Good intel, good info. By the way, here is one of those FBI whistleblowers a few moments ago, cut number 22.
I pray that all members consider the information I and my fellow whistleblowers present. You may think I'm a political partisan. You may think I'm a grifter. You may think I'm a conspiracy theorist. It does not matter. Simply put, this committee should avoid the temptation to impugn the character and the motivations of the messengers seated before you. I sacrificed my dream job to share this information with the American people. I humbly ask all the members to do your jobs and consider the merit of what I have presented.
And you go back to this audio we played earlier of the two female FBI agents. And by the way, they look like, I don't know, sorority girls? They didn't exactly look like FBI agents, if you know what I mean. And they're standing there on the front porch of this woman's home, demanding to know where her daughter is, because her daughter is a pro-life leader. How many times now have we had the FBI going around bullying, intimidating pro-lifers? And for what? Simply because they believe that killing a baby is wrong? It's a sin? And that gives the FBI the authority to go and harass them and to make their lives miserable? And by the way, the FBI has time to just go pay courtesy calls on pro-lifers? Don't they have other things they should be worried about, like tracking down Black Lives Matter terrorists in Antifa? They burned down a lot of American cities, and nobody's ever been charged for that crime. Nobody. Then you've got the FBI going after moms and dads who simply went to a school board meeting to complain about their kids being groomed by the alphabet activist. And the next thing you know, a lot of these moms and dads had knocks on the front door. They had FBI agents there. In one instance, they actually utilized red flag laws and took the guns out of a household. So you better believe we've got to get to the bottom of this. And quite frankly, we need to defund and dismantle. And you heard Jim Jordan on the show yesterday saying they do have the power of the purse and the FBI is wanting a brand new multi-bazillion dollar building. Well, you know what? You're not going to get it. Live in squalor. The American taxpayers are tired of this nonsense. The American people, I suspect, are tired of the fact that the FBI has been turned into this some sort of a super secret state police where they're going around and trying to destroy anybody who disagrees with the Democrat way of life. That's what the Durham report exposed. By the way, I was talking to Senator Marsha Blackburn, and she told me that there is a good chance that prosecutions might be able to come out of the Durham investigation. And we'll see how that goes. I am not hopeful, but let's hope. All right? Good. All right. We got to take a quick break here. 844-747-8868. That's our number. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, let's get to it, everybody. Hello. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us this hour. Coming up in a few moments, our good friend Congressman Ralph Norman's going to drop by. He's going to give us some intel on the FBI investigations and the hearings underway up on Capitol Hill. Right now, though, want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. All you folks in North Carolina will know this voice very well and name. He is your Lieutenant Governor, Mark Robinson, and he wants to be your next governor. Lieutenant Governor, welcome back to the show.
Hello, Todd. How are you doing? Good to talk to you again.
Mark, likewise, and we've known each other for a while now, and one of the things I love about you, when you were campaigning for Lieutenant Governor, you made a lot of promises, and you have delivered on every single one of those promises, and I know the good people there in North Carolina really appreciate that.
Well, we've tried to do everything that we said we were going to do and fight for everything that we said we were going to fight for, and we certainly want to continue to do that in our next endeavor.
You know, the challenge I see in North Carolina, there were so many people from the northern states moving down to escape these radical leftists. Unfortunately, they packed their Democrat policies with them when they came down and turned North Carolina blue strategically, I think. So how do you think we're going to be able to undo the damage that's been done?
Well, I really believe that along with some of those folks that are coming bringing the crazy ideas, we have a number of folks who are escaping some of these states that are falling apart because of bad leftist policy. They're coming to our states because of our conservative policies. And I think that if we invite those folks in with open arms and let them know that we're here to operate this state in the exact opposite from the states that they're trying to get away from, some of the burdensome regulations that quite frankly, some of the almost unconstitutional things they've been doing in the states where they live, and show them that we're here for them, to partner with them, to make sure that they're going to be successful, I believe that that'll translate into them voting in the right directions. And so we know there's going to be a mix of people coming here, but we believe that by and large, the folks that are going to come here are going to vote the right way to keep this state like it is.
When you ran for office, you were elected. I'm wondering, you're looking back, anything that really surprised you about being in politics?
You know, I've always known how slow our government operates, and I've always known how I thought I knew how deep our bureaucracies were entrenched. But I think that's the thing that has shocked me more than anything: how so many issues, sometimes a lot of times, do not get fixed because of entrenched politics, and because of very partisan politics, and because of very deeply entrenched bureaucracies that are not operating for the best reasons for the people that are supposed to be serving.
So you announced several weeks back now that you were formally announcing your candidacy for governor. If elected, you're going to be the first black governor in the history of North Carolina. More importantly, though, I'm curious about your policies. What do you want to do if you get elected governor?
So right now in North Carolina, our economy is in a great place. We came from a pretty rough place prior to 2010. We were $3.4 billion in debt to the federal government. Our revenue was not growing. It was very stagnant. We were laying off state workers. State teachers hadn't had a raise in 6 years. But after 2010, when we had a Republican conservative takeover, they focused first on the most substantive issue that in any election, and that is the economy. That is the quintessential substantive issue that faces all of us. They tackled that. They lowered taxes. They did other things and made conservative moves. Now we're no longer in debt to the federal government, not one dime. And we're the number one business destination in the nation. And plus, we have huge surpluses every year instead of deficits. So we're in a great place financially. But what I would really love to see in this state is to see our economy even out. It's very segmented right now. I want businesses who are coming here to see the entire state, not just the middle part of our state and not just parts of our state, but we want to make the entire state available so that everybody in this state has economic opportunities all the way across from Murphy to Manio, so to speak. The other thing we want to do is we want to make some tremendous changes in our education system. Right now, we've got great teachers, great parents, great students out there doing a great job every day in our education system. But we have a bureaucracy that is putting stumbling blocks in front of them on a daily basis. We have got to rethink the way we do in education, remove that bureaucracy out of the way, make sure parents are in charge of their educational destiny, and make sure that we bring back words like excellence instead of continuing down the same drumbeat of words like equity and others that are not serving our children and parents and teachers and students well at all.
You know, we just did a story just a little while ago about this teacher in Kansas who exposed what was happening in the public school system and this whole diversity, equity, and inclusion training that they all had to go through, which basically she said was anti-American, anti-capitalist, and quite frankly, anti-white, pitting white people as oppressors in society.
Sure.
and talking about
sure.
how dangerous that is. And I have to imagine that's also being taught in some schools in North Carolina.
Well, you know, that stuff is everywhere, and our state has already made some moves to try to mitigate that in some places. I know Florida has made some moves to try to mitigate that. Look, these colleges, particularly colleges, they love to talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion. But, you know, it stops where the buck stops. You know, nobody talks about diversity, equity, inclusion on the basketball team. Nobody talks about it on the football team. You know, we don't talk about those things then. What matters in those spheres? On the athletic field, what matters is excellence. We want the best players in the positions that they need to be in. Doesn't matter what they look like. The same thing needs to happen inside of our schools. We need, in education itself, we need to bring back the word excellence. That's what education should be about. And all this diversity, equity, and inclusion, lowering the bar so everyone can get over instead of raising the standards of teaching and raising the standards of learning so that folks know more when they leave the classroom. That's what we need to be doing. We don't need to lower the bar. We need to raise the standards and make sure those standards are excellent, and encourage our young people to strive for excellence all the way, always, because it's not about what they do in that classroom that's going to make the real difference. It's about what they learn in that classroom and take out of that classroom into their lives and apply in their lives that's really going to make the difference. So we've got to get back to that here in North Carolina. We've got to get back to that in our higher education as well.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson. And, Mark, one of the things I really appreciated about President Trump was his focus on the technical arts, trade schools, and really affirming that there's nothing wrong with people who don't want to go to college. Maybe you want to be a machinist, you want to be a welder or an electrician. And you've done a really remarkable thing. You were able to secure $12 million in apprenticeship funding that will really help really spur on the growth of that next generation of people in the trades.
Absolutely. As you said, one of the disservices we've done to our young people is told them, hey, go to a four-year university, get a degree, and everything will be okay. That is not how it works. There's absolutely nothing wrong with a four-year university degree, and we're not against that. But we need to get our young people to understand that a four-year university degree is a serious investment of your time and money. And before you step into that realm, you need to have a plan and a purpose. That's number one. Number two, you do not have to go to a four-year university to get to learn a trade and to learn a trade that will provide you not only with a good job, it will provide you with a great high-paying career that can last for a lifetime. We need to start teaching our children that again. We need to start letting young people know that, sure, it's okay to be an executive at Google, but that executive would have nowhere to work inside of Google if they didn't have that big building to work in, and someone to do the maintenance on that building, someone to do the plumbing, someone to do the electrical work. All those technical trades, we need to ensure that our young people understand that those are not just jobs. Those are careers. And they can build a great life. They can and as a matter of fact, they can build some pretty good doggone wealth with applying those technical trades. So we're going to do everything that we can to continue to present those opportunities to our young people to let them know that there's not just one way to success in this nation. There's many ways.
That's it. Well, all right, Mark, best of luck to you out there on the campaign trail. No doubt, and I don't want to jinx anything, but it's going to be great to call you Governor Robinson.
Well, thank you. We certainly appreciate that. We're looking forward to that day ourselves because we truly want to continue to serve the people of North Carolina. We've been able to do it as Lieutenant Governor, and we certainly hope to be able to do it as Governor.
All right, folks, be sure to follow the Lieutenant Governor on Twitter, Mark Robinson NC. That's North Carolina, Mark Robinson NC. Lieutenant Governor, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
All right. There you go. Well, we've got a lot of folks in North Carolina that listen to this program. What do you think? Is Mark Robinson your next governor? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. And we're going to be taking your calls when we get back. You heard the Lieutenant Governor, by the way, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And we are big, big, big fans of Patriot Mobile. They're literally mobilizing freedom all over the country, and they have an incredible wireless service. And I want to encourage you to check it out. Maybe some of you have Verizon or AT&T. I have met so many people, and they've sent me messages. They said, Todd, we decided to give it a shot, and we love Patriot Mobile. We're getting the best service we've ever gotten from a wireless carrier. All you need to do is go to PatriotMobile.com and explore all the different options. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. And our listeners, you're going to get some incredible discounts. Use my promo code Todd, and you're going to be able to get free premier activation and a free gift. But you have to go to PatriotMobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT, promo code Todd. All right, so Marjorie Taylor Greene is really causing people to get triggered on the left. This is pretty brilliant. So there is a congressman. His name is Jamal Bowman. And this guy, he's a Democrat from New York, and this guy is really weird. He's got some anger management problems. So anyway, Jamal is making a name for himself up on Capitol Hill because he'll just go up to a Republican and start screaming at them, cursing at them. And he especially loves to try and bully conservative women. But conservative women, they're not going to be bullied. They're not going to be bullied by thugs. So anyway, there was a big dust up yesterday, and Clay Higgins was in on this. This is great. So Higgins, who's the retired Army general from Louisiana, he got elected to Congress, and some little 25-year-old soy boy was trying to film him and video him and was getting in his face and disrupting a press briefing. And so Higgins, if you've ever seen the The Blind Side, about the football player from Memphis, the Briarcrest football player, and there's this great scene when he was in high school, and this actually happened, where the player actually shoved the other player all the way off the field, if you remember that movie. And it was a really funny set. That's exactly what Clay Higgins did. That's exactly what he did to this little soy boy. And now, by the way, the kid was detained by D.C. police, and now the kid is, like, crying. He hurt my feelings. He put his hands on me. He's a bad man, and I'm going to press charges. Well, all right, go for it. Good for you, Congressman Higgins. So anyway, MTG is out there, and she's getting harangued by this Jamal Bowman guy, and he kept calling her a white supremacist. Now, here's Marjorie Taylor Greene today explaining how bad that word is.
I had to have so much security. There was not enough. I was swarmed. It's all on video. Everyone can see this. But I will tell you what's on video is Jamal Bowman shouting at the top of his lungs, cursing, calling me a horrible, calling me a white supremacist, which I take great offense to. That is like calling a person of color the N-word, which should never happen. Calling me a white supremacist is equal to that, and that is wrong. Jamal Bowman was down there cursing at me, telling me to get the F out of there, and he was leading the mob right outside the vehicle I was sitting in. We have this all on video. And then on the Capitol steps yesterday, he was the one that approached me. Even CNN reported that. Yelling, shouting, raising his voice. He has aggressive his physical mannerisms are aggressive, and he just recently shoved Thomas Massie just outside the House chamber. I think there's a lot of concern about Jamal Bowman. So, and I am concerned about it. I feel threatened by him. He not only led a mob there, but his boisterous lies. And I'll tell you another thing he said outside there. He was saying, save your party. I kept telling him, no, save the country. It's not about political parties. We shouldn't care about political parties. We should care about the country, because no matter what our political beliefs are, Jamal Bowman, I don't know what his political beliefs are. I know what mine are, but we both swore an oath to serve the country here in Congress as representatives. So I am very concerned about Jamal Bowman, and he's someone that people should watch.
The guy's unhinged. And by the way, now all the media is coming after MTG and calling her a racist because she said that she felt intimidated by Jamal Bowman. So they're saying, oh, she's intimidated by large black guys. Well, no, that's not what she's talking about. She's clearly coming under assault and attack from another lawmaker, and that's got to be fixed. May I just say something, though, about Thomas Massie? Very disappointed to hear this. Let me just say something to the men of Congress and to the ladies of Congress, the Congress ladies. If Jamal Bowman goes up to you and shoves you and gets confrontational and lays a hand on you, you have a responsibility to punch that guy. You have a responsibility to fight back. Once Jamal Bowman puts his hands on you, hey, it's on like Donkey Kong, as they say. At least that's the way it used to be back in the day. They had duels over less stuff. I mean, come on. But I'm curious to hear from you, ladies and gentlemen, the learned members of this audience. Do you believe that the phrase white supremacist is akin to saying the N-word? I mean, they can call us every name in the book, right? But I don't think they should. I mean, if you're going to banish certain words on one side for one race, why not banish other words from other races? Do you get offended when people call you white supremacist? Personally, I feel bad for them, because when somebody calls me a white supremacist, I just think they're morons. Maybe they were, I don't know, dropped on their head as a child. There's some sort of a medical issue at stake. Anyway, curious to hear your thoughts on that. MTG stirring up all kinds of controversy. Washington Post says, no, there's no word like the N-word. It's its own word. All right. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Is white supremacist like the N-word? Huh. Inquiring minds. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Let's get to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have our good friend, Congressman Ralph Norman from South Carolina, joining us. Hey, Congressman, how are you today?
Doing fine, Todd. How are you?
Doing well. I know you guys are pretty busy up there on Capitol Hill today. This FBI hearing with the whistleblowers, what are the surprises or what are the things that have really caused you to raise your eyebrows?
Well, it's just a pattern that the FBI has had, Todd. I mean, starting with the report of the John Durham reports on just basically going after the president with no substantiated evidence, just on hearsay. And then with this whistleblower, the two, I think it was Mr. Friend and Marcus Allen, who were retaliated against on the evidence they had on the January 6th riots. And, you know, the FBI is supposed to set the gold standard for justice and following the law. And as the Durham report said in their 300-plus page, I guess, indictment of the FBI, that they just didn't do that. And there's a concerted effort, not by all of them, but by a lot of members to that make up the FBI to go after enemies. They've been weaponized by the Biden administration, but even before that, the Obama administration. So it doesn't surprise me with the whistleblowers. It's just a pattern that they've set, and they have got to have consequences. I mean, you know, Jim Jordan has done a great job at getting cover of uncovering a lot of things, but it's got to have consequences. People, they're not even getting letters that they have sent, particularly on the Oversight Committee, on information they've requested. They just can't do that. And it's something American people finally have their eyes open to. The Democrats didn't have any hearings on any of this because they wanted to cover it up. But it's not surprising, but again, we've got to have consequences.
Well, Congressman, I can tell you we had Jim Jordan on the show yesterday, and he strongly hinted that you guys do have the power of the purse strings, and FBI is looking to build a brand new building at taxpayer expense. And quite frankly, I'm one of those people, I guess you could call me to the hard right on this issue. I think we ought to defund and dismantle the FBI and start all over again.
Yeah, and, you know, for them just to put out memos and to correct the bad actors that they've had consequences, that's their words. What have they done? And, you know, we have no evidence of them doing anything other than cover up, punishing those who report the truth. And defunding is the only way to go. And we need to, particularly now that we've got the package in front of the Senate with the debt ceiling, we need to add to it. And the only way you get their attention is defund them. I put in a letter to McCarthy on the World Health Organization, which is a complete fraud run by the CCP. And the FBI will do the same thing. I mean, imagine.
You know, Congressman, let me jump in here. We're going to put you on hold for just a moment. We have got a really scratchy phone connection. Guys, let's try to get that worked out, and let me know when we can get the congressman back, because I do want to jump into this World Health Organization crazy story. Folks, in the meantime, some very big news for you. Millions of people are making the switch to Newsmax. New ratings just came out yesterday. Once again, Newsmax has now beaten CNN for the second time this week in the ratings in prime time. It's just unbelievable. This is amazing. But look, after, give you an example. When Tucker Carlson got fired, the Eric Bolling show went up over 200% in the ratings. And every night, Newsmax's powerful primetime lineup is crushing it. Greta Van Susteren, Rob Schmidt, Eric Bolling, and Chris Plant. The facts are very clear. Americans are turning to Newsmax for real news you can trust. Now, tonight, Eric's going to be talking about Hunter Biden and the Biden crime syndicate. You're going to watch that tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern, and find out why Newsmax is now America's fastest growing cable news channel. Get Newsmax on all cable systems, and if your cable system doesn't have Newsmax, well, switch to a system that does. You can download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone. You can also watch anytime and anywhere. So make the switch today to Newsmax. Tell your friends that you made the switch because Newsmax is real news for real people. Well, unfortunately, the congressman is on the road right now, and you know how it is. You get into a bad spot, and the signal goes all squirrely on you. But I do want to share with you the great work he did announcing yesterday afternoon about the World Health Organization. And he held a press conference leading the charge, warning people that we were about to surrender U.S. sovereignty to the WHO. Now, in January of last year, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services proposed amendments that would allow the WHO Director General to declare a public health emergency in any member nation, including us, the United States. It would literally grant unilateral authority to the WHO Director to declare a health crisis right here in America or any other sovereign nations without any consultation. This is just unbelievable. Now, I think we've maybe had the congressman back with us. Congressman, this is a horrifying thing to know that the World Health Organization could actually come in and take charge of this country.
Well, it really is, Todd. And, you know, the word we get is the president, there's a meeting at, I think it's 21st through the 30th of this month that they're going to be having talks. And the fact that he would surrender the sovereignty of America is unfathomable and something I've been getting phone calls from constituents. I've consulted with Frank Gaffney, who's written books on this. This is a real problem, and this is a real issue that we've got to at least call attention to, which is what we did with a news conference yesterday. I've written McCarthy to include in our package of cuts the $700 million that America pays to be a member of the World Health Organization, which Donald Trump revoked and took away, which was the right thing to do. We need to do it again now.
Now, Congressman, a few moments ago, Senator Fetterman from Pennsylvania holding a press conference with other Democrats, and they're calling on President Biden to invoke the 14th Amendment if a deal is not reached on the debt ceiling. Your take on that?
Well, it would be unconstitutional to do that. They're taking a Civil War part of the Constitution, which the House of Representatives has got to control the purse strings. If the president unilaterally attempts to raise the debt ceiling without the House of Representatives acting, he can't do that. And it'll be a challenge if he does it. It would not surprise me if he did that. But the language that he's interpreting is not meant for that. It just meant, you know, the way I read it is the debt of the United States has to be met. But he can, as president in the executive branch, he can't invoke that. The House of Representatives is the only one that can do that with the approval of the Senate. So he's desperate. He does not. I mean, what's so insane about this is, for him to propose no cuts, not $1 of the $6 trillion he spent in the past 24 months is insane. We're going to fight him and stick by our guns and get what we put up there. But it would not surprise him if he tries that. But it's not going to work.
All right, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. Sorry about the phone situation, but we appreciate the great work you're doing up on Capitol Hill.
Thank you so much.
All right, there you go, Congressman Ralph Norman from South Carolina on the road today. My goodness. Again, folks, this is why it's so important to have the House Freedom Caucus up on Capitol Hill. They're able to keep an eye on these kinds of situations. The Biden administration willing to cede control of this country over to the World Health Organization. Again, Biden has, you know, this is what kills me about Kevin McCarthy. The guy's up there saying, well, I haven't seen anything that would warrant impeachment. Really? What about ceding control of the country to the World Health Organization? What about coordinating with Mexico to bring millions of illegals into the country illegally? What about that? What about selling out to China? What about, and again, this news just came out a few days ago in the Durham report, what about the vice president's involvement in the attempt to overthrow a duly elected president? Looks to me like you've got plenty of opportunities to impeach Joe Biden. All right, 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number here. That's 844-747-8868. You know, one of the people I truly appreciate is Mike Lindell. Even when others have thrown in the towel, Mike Lindell is still fighting the good fight, fighting for America, and fighting for our right to a free and fair election. But Mike's also got a day job, and he has been churning out some incredible new products over at MyPillow. MyPillow.com/Starnes, by the way, is our website, our official website, MyPillow.com/Starnes. And when you go on that website, you're going to find some incredible offers just for our listeners. For example, the MyPillow 2.0. This is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you will ever own. MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free offer with promo code STARNS. MyPillow 2.0 is a temperature regulating technology. It's 100% made in the USA and comes with that great 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. You can also enter the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 to get your MyPillow 2.0 today. We'll be right back. All right, let's go to the phones. North Carolina, Patricia listening to us on WSIC. Hi, Patricia, what's on your mind today?
Hi, sir. I'm a first-time caller. Do I get a woo-woo?
Well, you do. Woo-hoo. All right, Patricia, welcome.
Thank you, sir. I've listened to everyone on your station on and off, and I'm 68 years old, born and raised, was in Miami, Florida. Migrated up here 15 years ago, and I'm just appalled at the way our country is, and I guess even with Trump, and then we got the opposite of Biden, I'm not truly understanding why the people of the United States, who truly have strong feelings about our democracy, aren't banding together and demanding. It just bedazzles me. I just don't get it.
Patricia, I think one of the challenges has been our nation's public school system. And we've kept our eyes off the ball for a very long time. And so now we've got two generations of Americans that have grown up in a public school system that taught the kids to hate America, to hate capitalism, to hate freedom. There was a study years ago that I wrote about in one of my books, and that study from Pew found that 40 or 45% of millennials at the time, and this is in the early days of the millennials, 40% actually said there should be limitations placed on free speech in America. And Patricia, I wrote at the time that my concern was that number is only going to get larger unless we step in and do something about what's happening in our school system. So I think that's where That's where kids are being taught to hate America. I don't think it comes naturally.
I agree, and they're also not being taught, like, the Golden Rule, our history, our Pledge of Allegiance, our rights, our privileges. But the main thing that my grandsons, they're 15 and 12, they don't even know how to write. What's going on? They don't teach handwriting in class. They don't teach cursive writing. My 21-year-old nephew can't sign his name.
Wow.
Those were, when I was growing up, it was a privilege, like cursive and printing, and no schools teach handwriting. Why isn't there a requirement now that COVID's out of the way? You know, you graduate kindergarten, you got to be able to print properly. It doesn't matter.
Patricia, you're absolutely right. And that's why it is so important that all of us, it doesn't matter if you have kids in the school system or not, you're a taxpayer, you're an American, everybody has skin in the game. And I think it's worth it to go down to those school board meetings, volunteer to sit in on the textbook committees, and let's make sure that our kids are learning that America is the greatest nation on the planet. We are an exceptional people, and freedom is worth fighting for, and we've got to do that. And if we can do that, then I believe we're gonna be able to save this country. Patricia, thank you for calling in, and I don't want you to be a stranger. Give us a call back. You did a great job on your first time out. So there you go. All right. There's a great story in the Washington or the New York Post. Oh, this is terrible. So there is a plus size model, and by plus size, I would say this woman is probably, and I'm just guesstimating here, between 400 and 500 pounds. She's a big girl, and she's very upset. She's on TikTok. Her name is Big Curvy Olivia. Have you heard about her? Big Curvy Olivia. Okay, I may be lowballing it a bit, but I don't think she can't be six. She's a big girl. Anyway, she's so fat that she can't walk down the aisle of an airplane. And she was very upset because she had to turn sideways to scooch past the aisles. And she says that is discrimination. She says it's discrimination that the airlines can't build wider aisles in airplanes in 2023. So far, over 700,000 people have seen this TikTok posting. She's really upset about it. And she says that the airlines need to do a better job of accommodating overweight passengers. She says, I fly business or first class. I'm not as big, but I'm not as small. Everybody is happy, and I get peace. That's great. What? That's nuts. So I'm curious what sort of advice you would give this woman. I mean, this is, you know, but I'm watching a video, and sure, she cannot just walk right down the aisle. She has to turn on the side, and even then, it's a challenge. So I'm wondering what advice you would give this lady. She says, I can't fit in the plane aisle, and it feels like discrimination. I don't know. Maybe they could grease up the seats and just, you know, you could kind of like, you know, slip through. Get a stick of butter. I don't know what to tell this woman. But I really find it hard to believe that the airlines, and again, the airlines, they're in the business of making money, and the only way they can widen the aisles is to take out seats. Is that what she's suggesting they do? Unbelievable. One TikToker said, hey, look, if you got a problem with it, don't fly. I'm just trying to understand how this is discrimination. I don't get it. All right, I know we have people calling in. We'll take up this story tomorrow. So we'll offer the lady some help, some suggestions. No, Dylan, no, Jenny Craig is not an option because they're out of business now. All right, we got to get out of here. Be good, America.